Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Job's a very interesting book. Job's a very interesting person. His character is very interesting. He's got a very good character. He loves God. And you study the beginning of it and look at the beginning of the book of Job, man. He's fearing God. He's eschewing evil. His character is really spotless. He's doing what God wants him to do. And the devil comes to pay God a visit and to check in with God. That's interesting within itself in chapter number 1. And God asked the devil, he said, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?" And the devil says, "Well, I'm just walking around. I'm trying to find somebody to jump on. Just, can I put it just plain? I'm looking for somebody to mess with." And God says to the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And of course the devil responds back to God and says, "Well, Job's one of yours, and you've put a hedge about Job. I can't get to Job because he's one of yours, and you put a hedge about him." And God says, "Well, you know what? Touch him. I give you permission to mess with him. I give you permission to mess with everything he's got, but leave him alone." And you know what happens? He does. Job, in just a few verses, practically loses everything he's got. He loses his wealth because of all of his cattle and all the she-asses and all that was his wealth. He loses his health. He loses practically his wife. And before you criticize her, think about what she's been through. She's given birth to 10 kids, and in one phone call, can I say it that way? And in one knock of the door, in one death notification, all 10 of her children are dead. Every one of them are gone. Every one of them are in one accident. She says, "Curse God and die." And before you criticize her, I don't know what I would say if somebody knocked on my door and told me my 3 girls was dead. Job continues serving God. The devil goes back to him and talks to God again. He says, "All right, go back down there again and you can touch Job himself. Just don't kill him." You know the story. He does that. Job's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job's lost everything he's got. His wife's mad at God. His wife's probably mad at him. Everything in Job's life in the matter of just 2 or 3 verses is turned upside down. Everything is. Boy, isn't it amazing how a day can start out as it's just a pretty sunny day outside, and all of a sudden the greatest storm of our life is there. He's got 3 friends and they get mad at him. You that knows the book. They question him about everything. They say, "Job, you've got sin in your life." Job goes on a pursuit for God and tries to find God and wants to talk to God, but it seems that he can't. But in chapter 42, the whole book takes a turn. Because Job's storm didn't last forever. Can I just say this? The effects of Job's storm was in his mind forever. He never forgot about the storm, but God brought him out of the storm. And when you get to chapter 42, Job is blessed with exactly double of what he had in chapter number 1. He has double in chapter number 42. And in chapter 42, verse 13, the Bible said this: "He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Well, in chapter number 1, he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. He's got 10, so now he has 20. No matter if your children pass away or not, they're still your child. He's got 20 children. And did you know up to chapter 42, none of his kids' names are mentioned nowhere. None of them. But in chapter 42, verse 14, the Bible said this. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. Now, you used to fuss at your mama for naming you what she did. Ain't you glad your mama wasn't Job's mama? But for some reason, the Bible gives us those three names. We don't get none of the others. None of the others have said anything about. They're just mentioned in passing. But he gives us those names. You see, names in the Word of God mean something. It's not just, I'm going to call him Caleb. I'm going to call him Johnny. No, they meant something in the Bible. So when you study these three names of his three daughters in chapter 42 out, here's what they are. The name Jemima means day or dove. It means day or dove. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with anything? Here's what Job is saying at the end of chapter 42. He said, boy, the past year, there's been a lot of dark times in my life. In the past year, there's been a lot of dark days in my life. There's been a lot of thunderstorms in my life. Oh, but I can report to you at the end of this year that God has turned my nighttime into daytime. Hear me and hear me well. You may be in a midnight season of your life. It may seem that the storm is raging on and on and on and on. Oh, hear me and hear me well this morning. It may be dark outside, but aren't you glad God is still there? He's always been faithful. He always will be faithful. And thank God one day we will come out of the storm. One day we will come out on the mountaintop. One day the bright and morning star will shine again in our life. He's saying, I just want to be reminded when I see my daughter walk by that it was in difficult days that God blessed me with her. And I'm going to remember this nighttime's not going to last forever. This nighttime's not going to last forever. Thank God the sun will come up again in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, hallelujah, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. You know, the darkest time of the night is in what they call the fourth watch. It's where the disciples was at. It's always the darkest right before the daybreak. So there's Jemima, but then there's Keziah. That name Keziah means this. It means fragrant. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? God had replaced the stench of loss with the fragrance of victory. Amen. But then there's Karen Hapuk. Thank God for Jonathan. I'm talking about the name, okay? Y'all can say amen to the name. You may not thank God for Jonathan, but you ought to thank God for his name. Imagine my pastor is Karen Hapuk. Here's old Karen Hapuk. It's the last name that's mentioned. And here's what the name means. It means a box of eye pain. It means cosmetic. It's used to refer to glory or brightness. And it's actually the same word when you study it out that is used for Moses when he comes down off the mountain of transfiguration. And the Bible said this, that his face did glow. He had a glow about him. He had a glow about him. You say, well, preacher, why would you say that this morning? Here's the reason why. He said, I think I'll call her Karen Hapuk. Why would he say that? Because there had been a lot of tears that had been shed. There'd been a lot of times when he didn't understand what was going on. But somehow through it all, the glory of God still shone in his life. Somehow through every bit of it, the glory of God was still shining in his life. Let me tell you what makes the midnight hour okay. It's when the glory of God begins shining at midnight. You see, the truth of the matter is this morning. The truth of the matter is this morning. The storm may not end today. Boy, it got quiet on that one. The storm may not end today. Matter of fact, the storm may get worse before it gets better. But you know what? We have a promise that one day the storm will end. He said, all the appointed days of my life, Job said this, will I wait until my change comes. You know what he was saying? He was saying, you know what? My storm may never end here, but there will come a day. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And you go on to say, he said, there's a day coming. But until that day comes, aren't you glad that we can still have the glow of God even though everything's going wrong? We've got one of two things we can do with our storm, church. We've got one or two things. We can become better Christians in our storms, or we can become bitter Christians in our storms. Many end up at Marah and they criticize Moses, the man of God. Why didn't you just leave us over yonder instead of bringing us here? And you know what? Moses had a decision to make at Marah. You that knows the story in the Bible, the place of bitterness is what that is. They couldn't drink of the waters. More 3 days they'd been in a wilderness and didn't have nothing to drink, and they come to water and they couldn't drink of the water because it was bitter. But Moses had a decision to make too that day. And while everybody else around him was becoming bitter at where God had led them to, Moses bows down on his knees and begins to pray. And God takes him to a tree. And Moses picks up that tree and throws that tree into the water. Study it out in the book of Exodus. Exodus 14 and 15. And when he does, that water becomes sweet. You see, what's going to make the difference in your bitterness, in your storm, in your blessing, in your storm, is if you'll get to the tree. If you'll get to the tree, and you don't know what I'm talking about Calvary. If you'll get to Jesus, and you just find yourself around him, and you can say things like this, Lord, I don't know why I'm here, but I sure need you while I'm here. And God, I don't know what the outcome of this is, but I'm going to worship you anyway. Time out. Here's what we say. Lord, if you'll bring me through this, I'll do this and that and the other. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. No, time out. God, here I am, and I'm going to worship you. No matter what happens in this, no matter what the outcome of this is, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to magnify you. And I promise you, in the midst of your storm, there can be a glow of God. There can be a fragrance of God. And you can understand, thank God, one day the sun will shine again.